Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You know, Starbucks in the United States is closing down stores and downgrading. And one of the refrains that kept on coming out when they were doing that in order to save costs is that they should cut the CEO's salary or make sure that baristas are paid equitably. And there's always a sense of either outrage or wonder when you talk about CEO salaries. In South Africa, I know there's a newspaper that likes saying, you know, this CEO earned 120,000 Rand per day and this is their total package. Let's speak to Sean Barnes, Executive Director at 21st Century, about why CEOs and executives earn so much. Sean, thanks for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Let's just start with why CEOs get paid so much and the role that they play.
Well, good evening. Well, first of all, I think they tell you they earn so much because they deserve it. But it's always good to ask for a second opinion. It is a very debatable topic. But I think at the end of the day, you know, if you work through the noise of the pay gaps and why some earn so much and why sometimes the multiples have got so big. It is a necessary evil, unfortunately, because, you know, if you think about companies and all the employment that companies provide and the jobs that companies create, someone has to carry the can for making sure that company gets to where it should be and, you know, does grow and does employ more people and improve people's lives. And very stressful jobs, they do require a high degree of skill, a large amount of expertise and experience. And, you know, it's just one of those global things that you know, wish you could live without, but that you really can't. And with the shortage of skills we have in a lot of industries, you know, that is just where the pay levels are. Mm. I think the bad apples have really tainted the whole face of executive pay. But, you know, if you could get good executive teams who grow a business properly and allow it to grow, you know, that should benefit all the groups of stakeholders, from the employees to the shareholders, and should benefit the community it's in as well. Mm-hmm. So that's really the theory.
Mm-hmm. Before we move into the incentives and short-term and long-term incentives, I'm thinking about a South African context. I know politically a few years ago there was a question about a mining company CEO versus the miner, because both jobs are very stressful. If you are running a conglomerate, you have to worry about your companies in South Africa and beyond, and that's very stressful. But if you are a miner, breaking your body deep in the bowels of the South African mines, that's also a stressful job. And they're not doing the same thing, but it seems as though the challenge around the disparity would be eased if the miners or people on the other end of the CEO spectrum had their salaries increased just a touch, so that even though there would be this big gap, there wouldn't be so much discontent. Sean?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the wage gap is one of the areas that, you know, there's a big focus on right now, and they're just coming to, I think it's just come into power. Well, it's just become official now, the amendments to the Companies Act, which requires companies now to actually, you know, to actually publish what the wage gap between the highest and lowest paid individuals in their companies are. And this is quite radical for South Africa. You know, we've always had the King Code in place, and we've always had companies, JSE listed companies, publishing remuneration reports, but they've always sort of, you know, published the executive salary. They've never been required by law to publish the gap between their lowest and highest paid workers. And that has now come into law. And it's going to, I think, set the tone for an interesting few years in the future, mm-hmm. where, you know, companies actually have an idea now of, we can always speculate and we go by media reports and say, oh, you know, so-and-so from that mining company gets paid so much more. But with these published ratios and these published gaps coming into effect now, companies will have a chance to say, hang on, you know, we pay our CEO 400 times more than our lowest paid worker, while most of the companies in our sector only pay their CEO 200 times more. So we've got double the wage gap. And I think that'll bring a lot of, very interesting dynamics into play. The other thing that we are seeing at the moment, just to put that into perspective, is we are seeing greater increases at the lower end of the job scale versus the increases at the higher end. And that's actually a complete 180-degree turn on what used to happen a couple of years ago, where, your professionals and your executives used to get higher increases. That's now completely turned on its head. And what we're seeing companies try to do is to reward the workers at the lower end of the spectrum with above average increases, while, rewarding the executive cadre with less. So over time, that should also help start to close the wage gap, but it is going to be quite a journey.
Okay. When we're talking about these numbers, when it comes to CEO pay, it's not just an amount that goes into their account once a month during payday. It's staggered into different kind of incentives. Some people get shares, they've got long-term incentives and short-term incentives. Just break those down for us.
Yeah, it can become a very confusing landscape. That over the years has been, how can we say, abused, in terms of how things are structured. But to put it very simply, you get your basic pay. That's what you get every month on a monthly basis. But the two elements, or the two elements that executives receive, is they also receive an annual bonus. Now, quite a few employees in a company can receive an annual bonus, so that's for your achievements during the year, and that's based on your performance and what you've done, and that's normally paid on an annual basis. But the main difference for the executives is that most of them also get a long-term incentive, and that's generally paid out over a 3-year period, and that's where the real detail comes in, whether it's shares or cash or any number of vehicles that they use. But the whole thinking behind the short term and the long term for executives is really to try and balance the negative behaviors that the annual bonus can bring in. So if you read the textbook definition of it, it'll tell you that, whereas a short term bonus, you'll say, "Ah, oh, save money," and then you'll go do silly things like cut your research department or, cut your quality department. And at the end of the year, you say, "Look, I've saved money," and you get your bonus. What the long-term incentive is meant to do is to say you can earn your short-term incentives, but at the end of a 3-year period, you still have to have created certain value. And that then tries to stop the very negative behaviors which can come from the annual incentives. And I mean, the biggest example in the world of negative behaviors that come from annual incentives was with the big crash, the big Wall Street crash. Because that was based purely on annual incentives that had no regard for something to balance them. So that's essentially the three parts. It's your basic salary every month that everybody gets, the annual incentive, which a lot of the people in the company share in as well, but then the long-term incentive, the 3-year bonus, which generally is for executives.
We spoke about South African context earlier on. Something that we do have here that is unique slightly is our transformation, Black Economic Empowerment, or broad-based Black Economic Empowerment. We've got sustainability goals. We focus on ESG. Just take me through how, if in any way, those play a role in CEO remuneration.
So what we saw in the past is that your execs and CEO, or your CEO remuneration, is driven mainly by your financial indicators. So it was all about, an increase in the share price, or an increase in the value, or an increase in the in capital employed, or whatever the metrics were that the company used. But since the ESG, and particularly in our case, because ESG carries such a large transformation element to it, ESG has really climbed in the long-term incentive element. So There might be small elements of it in the annual incentive, which say you've got certain targets to achieve. But then what we find a lot of companies doing these days is saying over a 3-year period, we expect you to achieve transformation targets of X, or we expect you to create community value of Y. And that is then built into that long-term incentive so that its weighting is much greater. And that's important because you can put something into an incentive and say, oh, you get an extra 5% if you achieve that. But the people can always say, well, it's such a small part of my bonus that I'm not really going to dedicate myself to that. We are seeing that percentage, starting to get to percentages around about 15 to 20%, which can be quite substantial if you look at an LTI.
Looking ahead, when you're thinking about trends around executive pay in South Africa, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that we are going to see, especially with these Companies Act amendments, I think we are going to see remuneration committees apply themselves better. What we've had in the past is we've tended to not be, how can I put it, the best or the tightest in terms of governance when it comes to executive teams and CEOs not meeting their targets. And very often the board will say, oh well, they gave it their best, so let's give it to them anyway. I think what we'll see in the future is we'll see a tightening of that, where if you perform and you hit the targets, you get it. If you don't, you don't, because the reporting requirements are so much greater now. The second impact I foresee is that we are going to have a lot more care applied to increases, and as well as care applied to the size of bonuses, because of course that's going to feature in your annual reporting stats to the Department of Labour and Employment, where you are going to tell the world this is how much more we paid them compared to what we pay our rank and file workers. And I think the third that we're going to see is that there's going to be a push to try and convince stakeholders, and that includes external and internal stakeholders like employees, as to why the bonuses are being paid out. In other words, to demonstrate the actual effects. We've seen growth, we've seen added employment, we've seen more people gain meaningful employment. We've seen salaries go up, so that there can be a greater tie, and that there's less of the conflict and misunderstanding, or people just abusing the system that we've seen in the past.
Okay, Sean Barnes, Executive Director at 21st Century. Thanks for your time on Kaya Business Evening. In just a moment, we're going to be talking about the two-pot withdrawal stats, what they've shown us over the last year. Do stay with us on Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.